Ready for a special offer on a print subscription to Premier Guitar? Visit shop.premierguitar.com now and use this coupon, PODCAST15, that's PODCAST15, to get 15% off a one-year subscription to our in-depth coverage of your favorite artists and the coolest new gear. Offer valid in U.S. only, no Wi-Fi required.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Perry with PremierGuitar.com, and I am here in Nashville, Tennessee at the Exit Inn, hanging out with the guys from The Sword. This is JD. What's going on, JD?
Not too much.
Thanks for having us over here to check out your rig here.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at your pedals here.
Sure.
Cool. So the chain is, I'm guessing, coming out of your amp right into the noise suppressor?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah.
So you go into the hush, and then into the polytune,
mm-hmm.
and then what's this guy here?
That's just a vocal pedal, actually. That's a doubler.
Oh, cool.
Just for the vocals. It's not even hooked up to the guitar chain at all.
That's just on the board.
Yeah, so it's a mic pedal, yeah.
Vocals. Cool. And then into a carbon copy. Delay.
Carbon copy, yeah. The Bogner Ecstasy red pedal.
Very cool. For drive.
Yeah, just that's the main distortion. And it's got a sweet boost on there also.
Very cool.
That's like you can control the gain and the volume of the boost separately. I really like that.
That's pretty handy.
And good old Phase 90.
Phase 90, can't go wrong. Yeah. One knob, it's pretty rad. Cool, JD, so let's talk about this orange. This is kind of new, right, the OR100?
It is new, it came out last year. It's great, I love it. It's remarkably simple, yet remarkably complex. It can kind of be any kind of amp you want it to be. You can run it full or half power, four or two tubes.
Very cool, 100 watt, I'm guessing?
Yeah. I mean, I, of course, run full power when we play live.
Sure.
I've played oranges for ever.
And then two 12s?
Two 12s and four 12s, so six,
cool.
Six 12s.
Same speakers? Do you know what's
up? Yeah. I'm not sure. These might be a lower wattage speaker than these cabs. So it gives it a slightly different tone.
Cool. Yeah. What are you playing for strings on? Are you playing like 10s or 11s?
We play the hybrid gauge, so where it's like a,
it's like
52 to like a 10.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You like those?
Yeah.
It's different tension and stuff, right?
Yeah, it makes it so it's like, I mean, I find that a lot of people that tune down think that they need to use really heavy strings because they're afraid of their strings being loose.
Right.
And womp. To me, they need to be a little loose. You know, too tight, you're not going to get that wow, you know, that detune sound when you hit them hard, you know.
Super low note.
Sure. You know, they can't be too tight, but you know, can't be too loose either. You can't use super light strings either. We'll just flop all over the place.
Right.
So
come out of tune.
The way we play and tune those kind of hybrid gauge, that's the best for us because keeps the lower strings in the right tension, but then the upper strings you can still bend and you know.
You want to talk guitars? Is this your number one?
This is, you know, one of the number ones, sure. This is a 79 Explorer 2.
Super rad. What pickups are in it?
It's DiMarzio's, a Super Distortion, and a Super 2. This is, you know, one of my main guitars.
That's the one, huh? Do you have a boat? Do you carry a bunch with you?
We have a few. We each bring two.
Cool. All right, so here we have, it looks like a Les Paul.
Yes, sir. This is a Les Paul Custom. I think it's one of 50. It's an 07, I believe. Limited edition. I just got it off of eBay. I mean, I didn't,
it's beautiful.
Didn't have
I like
to know anybody to get that. But you know, it's like it's meant to kind of, I think, harken back to the 70s natural finish ones. But
totally.
It's got just a two-piece top instead of a three-piece top, and it's got a mahogany neck instead of a maple neck, which I like. And it's awesome.
I love it. Really cool. You have the similar pickup configuration in this?
This one in particular, I use mostly super distortions in most of my guitars.
Cool.
Then in the neck of this one is a Seymour Duncan Pearly Gates.
Oh, Pearly Gates, yeah.
Yeah, just for fun, kind of.
Yeah, just for an extra tone.
Yeah, cool. And I like these bridges a lot, the TP6 bridges.
With the fine tuners,
tail
right?
pieces, yeah. And not so much for the tail pieces, but they increase the mass.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that argument
they
before.
They make it sound sweet. I mean, I think there is something to it.
Very, very cool. All right, guys, so we're here with Kyle talking. We're going to talk about his pedal board here and a really, really cool amplifier here in a second. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what you got going on in your signal chain?
What's up, man? Let's see. What does the whole thing plug into? Dave, where's Dave? I'm just kidding. All right, we got let's start with the guitar. So I play this Electra Omega on this tour, and it plugs right into my Boss Chromatic tuner. Fantastic. If you don't know what that is, then we go into a Vox Wah, but our bass player, Brian, which we'll get to more along the line, actually took this thing apart and monitored it out with some weird kind of like attenuator that's like this Navy SEAL guy built. It's got this pod around it that keeps it from getting dirty. You know, like when you play festivals and stuff and dirt gets in your attenuator, it just sounds like, you know, it's actually a pretty sturdy wah. I wish that the attenuator went more up and more down, but
yeah, it is what it is.
Totally. Anyway, from there we go over to the Boss DS1, which
hey, tried and true.
It's
man,
very
that's a
basic,
good pedal.
But through the amp I play it through, which we'll talk about in a minute. It actually sounds really cool. It's just a really basic distortion. I let the amp do most of the work. The pedal is just kind of like my overdrive.
Just to give it a little oomph.
You'll find out why whenever I get to the amp. Anyway, next we go to this crazy ass phaser. It's just a P45 that Brian, our bass player, built. It just has like a bass boost, so I can do some really, whenever it kind of goes to the low end, it has this weird like
wompy.
Like the low end kind of from the amp combines with it and makes a really cool sound. I dig it a lot. I don't turn it up too high. It's on a real slow sweep.
Yeah.
And I just turn the effect up all the way and
let it rip.
Let the pedal do the work.
Yeah, totally.
From there, it actually goes right into our hush pedal, which JD probably talked to you about. These are the old style hush pedals that it's not really a noise gate. It's like a hiss eliminator. It's just a bunch of circuits in a row. I think it's like five of them maybe.
Yeah.
That it just eliminates the bulk of your crazy.
So it's not gating anything.
It's really not. You keep all
really
your hum
cancellation.
All your sustain. If you turn it up too high, it will cut off your signal, but it doesn't affect your tone at all.
Very cool.
Really, really nice. But it does fuck with time delay things. Which is why I put my delay after it.
Cool.
And Brian built this one too, and it's another Brian Ritchie thing. Our bass player just builds these pedals at his house and whatever. I'm kind of his guinea pig, if you will. And he writes down what they do, but I don't know. I just turn the knobs till it sounds good, and then
you just let it set it, forget it.
Like the number one rule of rock and roll is just whatever you have, just turn every knob until it sounds the best that it can sound. you know, you're doing something right, and then That's the pedal. I got a Voodoo Power thing that powers everything, but really, I mean, it's
pretty simple. Yeah, you guys aren't running
pedal train, pedal board, you know, wires or just whatever hasn't broken yet.
Hey, PG fans, it's John Bollinger. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Have you ever seen the cool PG T-shirts I wear on rig rundowns? Well, now you can snag your very own PG merch too: T-shirts, posters, keychains, and much more. Head to shop.premierguitar.com and check it out.
All right, man, so you got to tell me about this amp. Dude,
from the delay, it goes right into the big crunch. And this is my one knob. This is my baby. where we recorded Apocryphon, our last record, in the front of the studio was like an amp repair shop called Big Crunch. And there's a dude in there that just repairs guitars and amps and stuff. And he had this... I can't remember exactly what it was, some kind of Marshall box with like white Tolex that had been gutted and everything, and it was just had one knob on it. I was like, what the hell is that? He's like, oh, it's this crazy one knob amp, man, that I built. It's just like, you know, a fucking just power tubes and a plug and a, you know, transistor or whatever. That was it. Yeah, you know, it was just that's it.
So and, it's volume, it's tone, it's everything. It
already sounds good, so you don't need a tone circuit, you know, and you don't need a gain circuit because the more you turn it up, the gainier it gets. I like the clean tone of it. It's just gorgeous, and I keep it, you know, about
so you dial
11
a good
o'clock
clean tone
or something.
And
I use the DS1, do all the overdrive, and it's just it's a really clean palette, because there's no tone circuit to fuck with the tone at all. It's literally just like the most basic amplifier you can get. It just sounds good already, and it's a totally clean palette to try out pedals on and stuff.
It's interesting. I mean, you guys
really
are such a
crazy, like the way pedals affect your signal on other amps is completely different
totally
than the
different,
way it acts on this thing. And it's only 50 watts. But it's the loudest amp I've ever heard. We totally had a Back to the Future moment the first day I bought it, where I just dimed it, and it was like, you could hear the amp go
humming.
Like, oh man, here it goes, bow, you know. And,
oh, that's great.
It sounds great, but yeah, the top input is the like the high end, like direct input. The bottom one's what you can use to if you want to slave it with anything else, and it's as
very
basic
simple
as it gets. I mean, it's called Big Crunch. This is the only one that he's made from the ground up that I actually commissioned.
So this isn't something you can order
no,
from him?
No, well, if you were real nice and you emailed him, I'm sure he'll build you one. But and you can, he'll do whatever you want, but yeah, I gave him the means to make a nameplate for it. So this is the first one with an actual nameplate that's called the Big Crunch that you can find anywhere, really. I mean, like, usually the ones that he builds are like Fender Twins or something with the whole guts ripped out, and it's like every hole along the face of it, except for one knob, and the light turns green when you turn it on. It looks like a total piece of garbage, but it's the best sounding amp you've
great.
Ever heard in your life. So it's a, I was happy to be able to order a nice and pretty one, and he was real excited to build it. So if anybody wants one, hey.
Cool, and then you're running these orange cabs?
Yeah, me and JD started splitting we used to have full stacks, we started doing the 412 and 212 combos.
212 and a 412?
Yeah, it's just,
like
I don't know, it keeps everything's the same height. Aesthetically pleasing,
yeah,
sounds great. You know, and each cabinet sounds completely different. The 212s are a little twangier. The 412s are kind of the beef. That's why we mic those.
But lower end.
These are
sure.
kind of more of like our stage
monitors.
You know what I mean? Because it literally kind of aims right at your midsection. So it's just we get to hear what's going on.
Very cool. This is Dave. He's the guitar tech for the Sword. He's going to tell us a little bit more about this this cabinet setup. So
yeah, vintage 60s.
Vintage 60s. Mm-hmm. Cool, cool. What wattage, do you know?
I think the top cab is 140 and the bottom is 260.
Cool. So it's got that's a pretty good range of tone as far as the two cabs.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome, man.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's
in their
talk
light.
In their light. I know. You know, especially the older orange cabs like the 412. It's like you got to be a mountain man to be able to ride.
So those I mean, those push a little harder than like the traditional like the mm-hmm. ones with the orange.
Yeah, these are high wattage
stuff.
They're,
yeah.
So they're made
speakers.
For yeah. uh-huh. gainier
yeah,
sounds.
Uh-huh. Yep.
No kidding. That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah,
wow.
The vintage 30s are in the orange and then
in the big orange cabs.
Cab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Very cool. All right, you want to talk some guitars?
Yeah, sure.
Cool,
let's go.
Cool, cool.
Yeah,
all right, we got some Electras going on. These
we
are
do.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they just started making these things again, 2013, and Gene at the company reached out to me and was like, "Hey, you want to start playing these things?" And that doesn't happen all that often, but it happens every so often where guitar people reach out to you and stuff. And he just sent me this Omega Prime, and this one's pretty tight. I did rip the pickups out of it. Sorry. Any guitar company should know that, like, no matter what guitar you give me, I'm sorry. I'm just going to rip everything out of it and put whatever I want.
What do you got going on here?
I just put a Super Distortion here and a Seymour Duncan Fat Cat in the neck. And it's a really good combo. Standard. I'm probably going to play this one tonight. I played it the last couple nights.
It's beautiful.
It's cool. And it's got this, like, kind of like the Alex Lifeson. Les Pauls, like it's got like the neck scooped out right here, which like, I learned how to shred on a Les Paul Custom. And so when I started playing this thing, it was kind of funny. Like it was so easy to play that it fucked me up. You know what I mean? I kind of had to like...
You weren't having to reach?
Yeah, I had to take a step back and be like, okay, well, I just need to chill out more. But actually, this is one of the only guitars that's made me a better guitar player.
Wow,
playing
that's really
it.
Cool.
So that's kind of different for me. So I was like, these electric guys, they're onto something here.
I like the aesthetics of the knobs, too.
It's got a couple of things that I don't like about it, but I'm not going to talk about that because I like these guys. And it's a really solid guitar.
Very cool.
And there was the things that I didn't like about it were actually fixed in the Prime model, which they were
cool. Let's
kind enough
this.
To send one down. And I did what this one's different because it's all mahogany. It's same body form and everything. It's so pretty,
yeah, that
the back,
scoop is awesome.
They stuck the flame maple on the top, and everything else about it is tortoiseshell. It's awesome. It's the first time I've seen tortoiseshell binding. Tortoiseshell pit guard, tortoiseshell truss rod cover. The first thing I thought though when I saw all that, I was like, oh, they couldn't have done the logo in tortoiseshell.
I know that.
I'm just kidding. But I ripped the guts out of it too. Put it in a Seymour Duncan Invader in the bridge, which is like super dark. Really good for like rhythm shit for the studio. And then a Seymour Duncan JB in the neck, which is kind of weird. But it sounds like what you'd think a JB in the neck would sound like. It's just Is it a different tone? It's different, yeah. And it sounds really cool, actually, when you put the knob in the middle, which not that many people do.
Split the pickups?
Anymore. Yeah,
split
and just get some like really cool feedback kind of tones out of that. So, yeah. I don't know, these electric guitars, they are absolutely rad. This one's an Omega Prime.
And then the first one was called?
Just the Omega.
Just Omega?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
This one's got just like, it's just a little fancier.
Love it, man.
Just, you know, little bells and whistles. But they're the thing I like the most about them is they have these Allen wrench things, I don't know if you can see, that keep the stop bar from falling out.
So when you change the strings, yeah,
and, like,
that's cool.
None of the bolts ever move or anything. And it's just kind of little things that, you know, they're really solid guitars.
Attention to detail.
And also people, like, you know, talk about, like, kind of cool guitars this, cool guitar that. But people in our position need to have a guitar that's going to be reliable on the road. And that's really hard to find because you pay $3,000 for this guitar. And it just, you know, falls apart when you fly to Italy. And some guy's like, you know. So, but these electrics, like, they're really hold up so far. Anyway, it's only been a couple of months, but I have a good feeling. And
great looking guitar, man.
Really, really
sure.
Nice shit. Yeah.
Yeah, so, cool. Yeah. Well, man, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you talking to us today.
Oh, whatever.
Really, really cool stuff.
I'm flattered you guys came out.
Right on.
Cheers.
Cool. Well, thanks so much.
Of course. Thanks,
this is Perry with Premier Guitar.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to stick around for the show. We will have a good time.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
All right. Good deal. Good.